Well, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, please, and I'm going to read just a verse or two to bring us up to date, as it were. Mark chapter 4, and we read from verse 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. We have been considering the seed that is referred to here in the parable, which of course is the word of God. That's the picture. Now we come to the soil. And the soil pictures for us the hearts of those who hear the gospel. Just as the sower goes out to the field and he throws the seed into the ground, so the preaching of the gospel is a scattering of the seed of God's word into your hearts. Let's see if we can see your heart pictured here. You'll know it. You'll be able to look at what is said, examine what is said. You'll be able to see, is that my heart? Is that the type of heart I have? Is that the impact of God's word on my heart? And I hope you do. I hope that you all have one certain type of heart, one certain type of soil that's pictured here. I don't want you to have the soil that is likened in the first three pictures, because nothing comes of the sowing of the seed on that type of ground. It comes to nothing. It would be an awful thing to pass through life, especially given the circumstances in which you live, where the Word of God is presented to you regularly. There's plenty out there who never hear the Word of God. The nearest they get to the seed being sown in their heart may be a gospel text up outside a church, or perhaps someone giving them a gospel tract, which maybe at the best they just glance at, crumple it up and throw it away. But you're not like that. You are getting the Word of God thrown upon you time and time and time and time again. What sort of reception have you given the Word of God? Now we see, first of all, there are four kinds of soil. That's what the Savior says. Four kinds of soil here. Well, naturally, you go out round the field, you will find different circumstances, different situations in that field. Ploughed field may have in the heart of it good ground. But out round the fringes, the ground may be occupied. The ground may be stony. And it's not nearly the same sort of ground as there is more into the heart of the field. So that just as you get different types of soil in a field, so in a meeting like this, there are different types of hearts. There are four mentioned here. Because not every heart is the same. Not every one of you react to the gospel the same as the person next to you, not every one of you. Please examine yourself and see what your reaction to the gospel is. And if it's not a good reaction, then ask the Lord to give you a heart that is like the good ground, that welcomes the word of God. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that the Savior deals with the work of the devil. First thing he deals with, verse 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now, when he speaks of the fowls of the air, he's giving us a picture of the devil. Verse 15. There you have the explanation. You don't have to take my word for it. The Savior tells us. Those are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. The influence of the devil is here this morning, in this meeting. The Lord likens the devil unto the birds of the air. Now, perhaps not many of you have actually noticed this, but I used to notice it as a youngster. Whenever a farmer went into the field to plough it, he had hardly the first sod turned until the birds began to come. especially seagulls. And before very long, the field was covered in seagulls, especially the area that had been ploughed, because there was breakfast, dinner and tea all served up, ready for them to pick up. Talk about fast food outlets. Well, the birds of the air can spot fast food quicker than most. It is amazing. I don't know how the birds knew or saw, but I have read in many places how that those birds who fly away up there can see for miles, can see activity that's going on for miles. Perhaps that's the explanation as to why these birds, or how these birds, detect the ploughing and know food, and so they congregate. But the Lord is picturing the work of the devil, the work of the devil, how he ever keeps an eye out for gospel activity, how he keeps an eye out and comes immediately, the Savior says in the verse 15, he cometh immediately and steals away the seed. I may just add this for your information. The devil is a creature. He's not God. Only God can be in all places at all times. God can attend us here by his Spirit and by his blessing and by his power. And if at this moment, somewhere else, on the other side of the world, there's a gospel meeting going on, and we know there would be somewhere. God's there too, but the devil hasn't that power. But the devil has many allies and many agents. And I have no doubt that if the devil doesn't attend the gospel meeting to hinder it, then some of his agents, some of his allies attend. And I have no doubt that the influence of the devil will be felt in this meeting this morning. That should alarm you. That should alarm you. If a man came through that door with a mask on and a big gun in his hand, that would alarm you. That would alarm you. You mightn't know what sort of a gun he's carrying or anything like that. He mightn't have spoken a word, but the mask and the gun will alarm you. Well, listen, there's someone, something much more alarming in the meeting this morning, the influence of the devil. And he can do much more harm than can any masked gunman. He can rob you of the gospel. He can rob you of the gospel. And the first thing the Savior deals with here is the work of the gospel. The work of the devil opposing the gospel. How he moves quickly. The word immediately is actually a word that occurs many, many, many times in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is a gospel that has often been termed the Gospel of Christ the Servant, because he is active in this gospel, serving people, helping people, going around doing good. And you will find that again and again, now you look out for it when you read the Gospel of Mark. Again and again it will say, immediately. When he's asked for something, immediately he responds. When a request is made for help, immediately he responds. He's a good servant. He's an efficient servant. He's not careless, but he acts immediately. But so too does the devil. So too does the devil. He knows the work of God goes on apace, so he can't linger. And as soon as the seed is sown, he's down. Now, it is to be noticed that the ground that the devil robs, we are told in the verse 4, is the wayside. The wayside. The wayside, well, that's trampled ground. That's ground that the farmer and anyone else who comes into the field will walk on. Avoiding walking through the field, they'll walk around the edge. And so the ground's trampled and hard, and the seed that falls on it just lies on the surface. It's not hard to pick it up. Is your heart like that? Is your heart like that? Hard, trampled down by much traffic, thoughts of the world passing through your mind, trampling down your heart and hardening it. So that when the Word of God comes, it's just a hard surface and it's lying on the surface and it's easily taken away. That's the picture that's painted. That's the picture that's painted. Oh, how easy is the work of the devil in many instances. He doesn't have to dig the seed out of the ground. It's lying on the surface. It's like someone who walks around and they have their wallet hanging out of their pocket, just inviting the thief to take it. How crafty thieves are. You wouldn't believe that a thief could take something out of your pocket and you wouldn't even notice it. Well, I'm telling you, they can. They can. I'll tell you a wee story. It happened to me in France. We were in the south of France, a group of us, and as we were walking along, some little children came, not much bigger than you. In fact, the little imp that was the chief rascal was no bigger than the front row. And a little girl came up with a newspaper, holding it out in front of her, and came right up here. And speaking in French, was offering me this newspaper. What did I want with an old newspaper? No, thank you. No, thank you. Go away. Go away. And after a few seconds, she did. But then a little later, and I mean minutes later, she went over to another older man in the group. And she said, look, somebody has dropped their credit cards. I thought you might like them by. And the older man, oh, what a sweet little girl. Here, let me get you some money. And I spotted them. Hey, wait a minute. Those are my cards. And then I thought of the wee girl standing in front of me. And it turned out that as she stood with the newspaper in front of me, spread out in her hand, up against me, her little brother was in and under it. And I had a money bag round my waist, and he was into it. My wallet out, my credit cards and everything. But he could do nothing with the credit cards. So they made the best of a bad job, and they were offering the credit cards back as an act of kindness, hoping to get rewarded. But the Irish man in me spotted, pity I hadn't been more Irish and recognised I was being robbed, but I spotted the trick that was being played. There was no money in the wallet, just the credit cards. They couldn't make any use of them. So they made the best of it, and were trying to get a reward for returning that which they had just stolen. Little gypsies they were. I couldn't imagine how that could have been done. I just couldn't imagine how a little lad, could be so skillful and dexterous with his hands that he could unzip the money bag, get the cards out, and may not feel it. I couldn't believe it. I learned a lesson that day, and it's a lesson I've used in the pulpit. You can be robbed of something more valuable than credit cards by someone much more skillful than that little thief, the devil. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Can the devil rob you and you not know it? He had no great difficulty if the seed's just lying there on the top. It's not entering into your heart. It's not being received by you. It's not being laid hold upon by you and thought about and examined. No, it's just sitting there and you're paying no heed to it. It's not hard for the devil to steal away God's word from you. It's not hard. We look quickly at one more type of soil. Verse 5, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Shallow ground. Just a little covering of soil over rock. And you know, and I have to say this to you, when the Savior uses these pictures, they are accurate. They are agriculturally accurate. Because ground that is shallow will produce growth quicker than ground that has a good depth of soil. And I think it is especially so out in Israel. Why is that? Well, there is a little soil, so the seed can germinate. And it begins the process of growing. Now, in good soil, the first thing it does is put roots down. And then it begins to put up growth above the soil. But if there's no depth of soil, the growing process of the roots is hindered. And so the energy, the vitality in the seed is processed upward. And the growth in shallow ground will appear before the growth in good ground. Because it's forming a root system. It's able to put down roots. But in shallow ground it can't do that. So it just puts upward growth. It's a picture that corresponds to what we looked at in the last parable of the two houses. One with foundations and one without. And the house without foundations, it was going up, while the other house, there was no appearance of it going up because the man was digging down until he came to the rock and laying a foundation, and then he began to build up. And there is a corresponding likeness here to this image. There was no foundation to this growth. because there was no depth of soil. There was little root. And so all the energy went upward. But when the sun arose, because there was no depth of root that could draw from the soil moisture, it withered away under the sun. And there are those who hear the word of God, and like the shallow soil, they, oh, that's wonderful. I like that very much. I think I'll take that. I'll listen to that. And they give an outward, wonderful reception to the gospel, but there's no depth to them. There's no pondering, thinking, coming to a decision and a resolution regarding what it is they're hearing from God's word. But it's just a snap sort of a decision. Oh, yes, yes. I like that. And consequently, as soon as they run into opposition, as soon as somebody begins to laugh at them, as soon as somebody begins to sneer at them, they wither. There's no roots. There's no depth. They wither. As quickly as they came to a decision that seemed to favor the gospel, just as quickly they cast it off. Just as quickly they cast it off. Just like the seed, which showed quick growth. But just as quickly, it withered away when the sun came up because it had no root, no root to sustain it. Now, does that picture any of your heart? Hard, the seed just lying on it. You're unmoved, unaffected by it. And the devil can take it away and you don't even notice because you hadn't really paid any heed to what was saying. Or are you like the shallow ground? Ah, yes, you pay a little heed to it. But there's no depth to your thoughts, no depth to your consideration of God's word. And consequently, just a little sunshine, just a little opposition, and you change your mind. You change your mind. Is that how it is with you? I remember one time, I was only saved. I was going down to Dr. Paisley's church, as I did, Sabbath evening, walking down a street just near the church on the Ravenhill Road. And as I was walking down, I met three lads. And they walked past me, and the Lord said to me, invite them to the meeting. And I said, oh, Lord, I couldn't do that. They wouldn't want to hear from me. And I walked on a few paces, and the Lord said, you talk to them. And finally, I couldn't go any further, and I turned around, and I called to them, and I said, fellas, I'm going to hear Dr. Paisley preach the gospel. Would you like to come? And there was silence for a moment, and one lad said, yes, I'd like to go. And then another lad started to laugh. And just as quickly, that first fellow said, No, I was only joking. No, I didn't really mean it. Shallow ground. He was impressed. There was something wrought in his heart. He was inclined to go until his friend laughed. And like the scorching sun coming on the plant without a root, he withered away. And he didn't go. And they turned on their heel and walked away. I've often thought about that fella. He'd be an old fella now, like me. I wonder, is he still alive? I wonder, did he ever get another chance, or is he lost? Don't make his mistake. Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word, Lord. Oh, bless your word to every heart here today. Oh, God, I pray that there might be a good reception given to your word. Challenge hearts on this matter, I ask, and bless the school today and undertake for it, for Jesus' sake. Amen.